time that you have given us. We want to thank you for this place. We want to thank you for each and every child in the kingdom of God, born by the Spirit, born by the Word, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, as you are our teacher, let the light from your word enter into our hearts and help us to receive the light. Open our hearts, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. How to apply the blood of Jesus? God gave the blood in the Old Testament for application. God gave the blood of the animals for different purposes. As an atonement for sin in Leviticus 17:11, because the life is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And the other time we saw in the Passover, God gave the blood at that time for protection from the destroyer. But they had to do something. They had to apply the blood outside. The blood being inside the room is not enough. So you got to do something. As for Christians, the blood of Jesus Christ has replaced all the Old Testament, the blood of the bulls and lambs. The blood of the eternal Son of God has been shed at Calvary. But what are we doing? How are we appropriating? How are we applying, using the blood? And this is something, again, like some other important messages, has not been taught in the church. It has been systematically attacked by Satan. In fact, the messages about the blood or the songs about the blood have been taken away. How many of you have noticed that? And majority of the songs are self-centered, man-centered. Man is the center. And very few songs, Jesus is the center. And those worship songs. And we don't sing them. So today, we are going to, with the help of the Holy Spirit who is here, who is the main teacher, the chief shepherd, we will go through the scriptures and listen prayerfully. And as you, let's say if I say a book and a chapter and verse, and as you flip over your pages, see that you listen to me what I am saying. You understand that? As you go through this, hear what I am saying, because you might miss something. Of course, you will get the cassette, but then listen. All right. How to apply the blood of Jesus? Revelation 12:11. Here, the Holy Spirit tells us a very important truth with regard to the believers. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. We have come and we are still heading on to a great time of conflict. A great time of direct war with Satan. God and his people are involved. In the scripture, we again see God and his angels are involved. Satan and his fallen angels and demons are involved. The scripture tells us what we read just now, the victory goes to God and his people. Can you all say amen? Amen. Oh Lord, please help us that we may go through this without any disturbance. Now in the scripture, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him. the word they, who is that? The believers. The born again children of God. The blood bought children of God. You see, you can see here there is a direct conflict between Satan and the believers. No one is in between. They overcame him. Who is that him? Satan. Can you see that? There's nothing in between. Him is the devil. And don't forget, now the Holy Spirit says they overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And don't forget, they loved not their lives unto death. Any Christian who does not love his life unto death, the devil has no power over him. The devil has no hold over that church. Nothing. Because they say, come what may, we don't care. Like those three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. God is able to help, deliver us. If he doesn't, doesn't matter. Here we are. That's the thing here. The Holy Spirit is talking of. But how did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They said something from the word of God. Jesus spoke from the word of God against the devil. The word of their testimony. Now, 1 John chapter 5 verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth. Are we in heaven or are we in earth? Earth. Okay. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. So, three witnesses on earth. We will focus on that. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the blood. Can you see that? So how it is so much connected with Revelation 12:11. Now the Holy Spirit indwells our spirit. So when we speak the Word of God, and especially what the Bible says about the blood of Jesus Christ, that goes like a javelin against the devil. Because these three agree. You know, brothers and sisters, this is what most of us we are missing so much. Victory, many times. And these things have been so much freely given to us as inheritance, our own inheritance through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then, most of the time we do not know, and other times we forget. But God has given us this thing, just like he gave the blood of the bulls and lambs to do something with it at that time. They can't simply slaughter the animal, get the blood, and do nothing. Are you all there?
Yes.
All right. Now, we want to make a confession here, so you will see after me. Are you ready? That is based on this scripture. We overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the Word of God says, the blood of Jesus does for me. You see that? We overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the Word of God says, the blood of Jesus does for me. Here is the secret. Now, the ordinance of the Passover, 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, 1 Corinthians 5:7, that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Who is our Passover? Jesus Christ. You know, John the Baptist, look at the testimony of John the Baptist. When he saw Jesus in front of everybody, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Those Jews would have known immediately. You don't have to explain anything. Lamb of God? That means you're going to die for all of us. One word. There was a lady in England in the early 19th century, 1908 or something like that. She preached one sermon after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Behold the Lamb of God. That was her sermon. And people flocked to her home. And she will preach that, behold the Lamb of God. Immediately the Lord will fill everyone with the Holy Spirit. No, they played no games there. You know, this church has drifted from the main messages, you know. We just have many words now. All right, Jesus Christ is our Passover. He is our Passover. You know, the Old Testament Passover was a preview of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a shadow, the Old Testament Lamb Passover. Until Jesus gave his life on Calvary, on the cross, he became eternally the Lamb of God. Amen. In the blood of Jesus Christ and not the blood of the lambs, that assures us of the eternal redemption. The eternal redemption comes to us because of the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ, because his blood was shed. Now, let us go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12. Verse 21. Exodus 12, verse 21. And the Lord went before them, excuse me, 12:21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts, the top portion and the two sides, with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. See this. God gave them an ordinance. This was the last plague, and the Lord was going to perform it in a very mysterious way. The Lord told them to choose a lamb according to the number of the people in the house. A big one, a lamb, or a small one, whatever, according to the number. And then it has to be killed towards the evening, the twilight. And the blood of that lamb will have to be taken carefully in a basin, a bowl, right? And then using a hyssop. Hyssop is a weed, like a small bunch of, you know, you will see some bunches of in the vegetable section, tied up like spinach or whatever. But these are small leaves, like coriander leaves. This hyssop, you dip that hyssop, that weed bunch, inside the basin, inside the blood, and then take it and then put it on your, if this is the door, and put it over there, this is the lintel on the sides, and with the blood. Just sprinkle it and then just smear it or whatever, sprinkle. And the Lord said, I will pass over that night. See, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So, brothers and sisters, with this instruction, the Lord also told them to stay inside. Verse 22, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. Are you all there? Now look at me, I want to say something very important. The blood in the basin did not protect anyone. The blood had to be transferred from the basin to the doorpost outside using that weed, hyssop. The blood protected only the obedient. If somebody, even after putting that blood outside on the doorpost, according to what the Lord has said, and then he had gone to just to see what's happening, why these noises, somebody's crying and weeping, just want to see the fun, you know, outside, come and then peep, that person would drop to death. The blood did not protect those who were disobedient. It is the same thing for Christians now. It cannot protect those who are not obedient. I will be showing you that. The blood has no effect until it is applied in faith. Now turn with me to 1 Peter, first chapter. 1 Peter, first chapter. I hope you're following until now. Can I have an amen? Right. 1 Peter, first chapter, verse 2. Watch this. You are going to see this principle. What? The blood will protect only those who are obedient. All right. 1 Peter, first chapter, second verse. Oh, let me read from the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Unto obedience and sprinkling of blood. Obedience is coupled with the sprinkling of blood. And obedience is coming before the sprinkling of blood. No obedience, even if you sprinkle the blood, nothing. I will tell you a very, very simple example. Let's say the maximum speed limit is 100 kilometers per hour on the highway, right? Then you take the car and you say, Lord, you sit inside and say, Lord, I apply the blood and I sprinkle the blood all over me, those who are with me in the car. I apply the blood upon the car and let the blood of Jesus be a wall of protection around my car. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you are entitled for that. And the Lord will say, amen. And you take the car and then you go over the highway and you come to 100 and then you find your time is getting late and all that. You just, and then you want to go 110, 15, 20, 30. What has happened? You have come out of the room. You have put, God said, put the blood outside and stay inside. When you go over 100, you come outside. So the devil will say, we got him out. Bang! You come out of the protection of the blood. How many of you understood? So that's why Peter said, oh, I feel the anointing here. Obedience and the sprinkling of blood. People will just, give me that. I also want to confess. And confess and do what? You must obey. That will work for those who obey, not for those disobedient ones. You can't play with the blood of Jesus. God says you put that blood and see to it that you don't come out of the house till morning. No peeping. You get your head off. Are you there? No. We'll come on that. That's a different sermon. I'll come on that. Anyway, okay. Now, our testimony is the one which transfers the blood from the basin to the doorpost. Now, they had to do it with the hyssop. Hyssop is what? It's a small weed, a bunch of weed. So you put inside the basin, get the blood on that weed, in that thing, and then you put it on the outside doorpost. Now, the hyssop is our testimony. You take the word of God, what the word of God says about the blood. It's in the Bible, but it's not enough. By faith, you take those scriptures, what the Holy Spirit says about the blood of Jesus, and we speak it in faith. What are we doing? We are applying the blood on the doorpost. Simple as that. But actually, so much so, the church has drifted away. And that's why so many things happen inside their church. So many things happen for believers. And they said, what? What is happening to my house? What is this attacks and all that? What do I hear inside the kitchen? What are all these noises? Why? All kinds of things that come and bombard. May the Lord help us, even through this teaching, this message, take us to another level of spirituality, that we may take the word of God and apply what the word says about the blood. Amen. That'll go as a missile against the devil. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, actually of our confession, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. I want to say that again. He is the high priest of what? Of our confession. No confession, no high priest. You knew that before. You know, before I could finish, you knew that. He can be a high priest to only what he hears through our mouth. What did he say? He's saying, nothing is working out. Oh, I can't take those words to the Holy of Holies. He's the high priest of our confession. Psalm 107, verse 2. Psalm 107, verse 2. This is very good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Did you see those things? The redeemed of the Lord, the believers, let them say so, whom he hath redeemed from what? From the hand of the devil. So we need to confess certain things. No say so, no salvation. No say so, no deliverance. Confession is very, very important. Are you all there? Okay. Now, as we have already seen that Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb, now we're going to see how to apply the blood of Jesus Christ into our life. Number one, redemption. That is, Jesus bought us back through his blood. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. Oh Lord, let your word cleanse us as we listen. We are taken. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom, that is Jesus Christ, we have redemption, deliverance, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption in and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because his blood was shed, we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, 1st chapter 18 and 19. 1 Peter, 1st chapter 18 and 19. Actually, listening to these scriptures and the word itself, I really believe it will take off lots of darkness of depression, drowsiness, confusion, things like that. Yeah, because there is power in the blood. Amen. This, you know, message or songs about the blood, the devil hates. First chapter, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Precious blood. Peter calls it precious blood. The blood of God. That's why it's so precious. It was not Adamic blood. If it was Adamic blood, he could not have given that as a perfect sacrifice. There's another story, that is. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So Peter says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but you were redeemed, bought back from the hands of the devil. The Lord redeemed you out of his own blood. Hallelujah. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The blood redeemed us. That's why the Holy Spirit through David said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord be silent. No. Say so. We need to say that the Lord has redeemed me through his blood. That's what exactly that verse says. So again I say, no say so, no confession, no redemption. At least the redemption is not still a reality. And we are not living in that redemption. And we go about, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. See? Okay, are we ready for the confession now? All right, the first confession, the first thing is the redemption. First confession. All right? Ready? Are you ready to confess now? Very firmly and correctly and with all your faith, gird up your loins, and then you're going to confess now. Any demons staying next to you or they're waiting outside the door, they must be scratching their head now. Oh, yeah, sure, I'm telling. Sometimes they are not permitted to come inside here because they can't stand, especially a message like this. Actually, we don't see many things with our physical eyes. But these things do happen. They wait outside. Let us see whether.
true. It's true.
Okay. Ready. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed out of the hand of the devil. You're going to say once again, now this time you're going to close your eyes and then say. Come on, say it as you have never said it before. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Hallelujah. My gosh. This is very powerful. I have asked some people to confess this and they couldn't. This was printed in one of our Tamil confession books, and there was a group of people staying in an asylum, and one lady from our church and then told this person to confess, and he tried to confess. He was thrown about 5 feet from the place where he was.
It's rotating.
Yeah, it is. All right, now we go to the second confession. Lord help us. Second is cleansing. Cleansing. 1 John, 1st chapter, verse 7. 1 John, 1st chapter, verse 7. Now in the Old Testament, everything was cleansed by the blood. All the utensils, all the gold, those things made with the cups and everything that they used in the temple, even the altar, including the book, was cleansed by the blood. They sprinkled the blood on the book, man. Yeah, you read it. I have no time to read because I'm trying to put everything inside this cassette now. All right, let's go. 1 John, 1 chapter, verse 7. 1 John, 1 chapter, verse 7. Many of you know that scripture. 7. But if we walk in the light, we means the believers, as he is in the light, the Lord is in the light, he is of the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hear this now. Only through a continual walking in the light, we have continual fellowship with God. In the original language, that's Greek, all the verbs in this sentence are in the continuing present tense, not in the past tense. The light is a picture of the word of God. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is lamp to my feet and the light to my path. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy word gives me light. So we can read this way. If we walk in the word as he is in the word, he is the word, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin. So there is a continuous cleansing taking place. To those who are walking in the word, again we come obedience. For those who are obedient, walking according to the word, God takes a shower, the blood, and then cleansing takes place as we go through the day. It's an ongoing process. It's a continual cleansing. One thing to have the sins forgiven, another thing to have the cleansing. We need the cleansing. So the Holy Spirit says, if we walk according to the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. It does not say cleansed us, past tense. No. Continual present tense. And how much we need that?
every day. We clean ourselves with the water at least once a day, at least. If not many times. And God says, you need to clean up with the blood of my son. And I will do that. You do one thing. Confess your sin. Walk in my word. Walk in my word. I will bring the shower. The blood cleanses. So it is very clear here. The blood never cleanses anybody who is in darkness. The blood does not cleanse in the dark. Only the blood cleanses those who are in the light. If we walk in the light, in the word, as he is in the light, the blood cleanses us. We leave out the ifs most of the time. And we say, oh, the blood cleanses. Cleanse me, Lord. That's what we do. Psalm 51 verse 7. Look at this. David is mentioning here about the thing that we are actually he remembers what the people did during Moses' time. Psalm 51 verse 7. This was after his sin with Bathsheba. Verse 7, Psalm 51, 7. Purge me with hyssop. Can you see that? That word, that weed is coming, hyssop. Purge me or wash me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What is he saying here? He's not talking about water. He's talking about, Lord, wash me, Lord, with your blood, and I will be clean. Because David knew without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So he's remembering the hyssop, what they did with the blood and all that. You know, they cleaned up all those temple things and utensils, and Moses took the blood, even sprinkled upon all those 3 million people. It's in the Bible. And God had to do that at least once a year to clean them up. Blood covered their sins. The blood was taken into the Holy of Holies once a year. The high priest took it. So David here is mentioning about the hyssop, and then he's saying, oh God, wash me and I will be washed. Clean me and I will be cleansed. Wash me thoroughly and I will be whiter than snow. We know how white the snow is. Okay. Are you ready to make the confession? Second one. You ready? All right. May I tell you, there's something happening here. While I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses me now and continually from all sin. Now we are going to say these things every day. Every day. How, Pastor? Whisper louder. Until we just memorize it, and then it is there in our hearts, and it is right here. We just speak it out. While I walk in the light and he's in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses me now and continually from all sin. Third one, justification. Justification. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Can you see that? That word, justification, justifies by his what? Blood. By the blood of Jesus Christ. We shall be saved from wrath through him. We are justified through his blood. Earlier we saw we are redeemed through his blood. Then again we saw we are cleansed continually by his blood. Now we see we are justified by his blood. What does it mean? Justify means to make righteous, not guilty. You are made righteous. The righteousness of Jesus Christ has been given to us. Justification means just as if I had never sinned. The Lord sees us that way, as if it has never happened before. He erases everything and he says, I will not remember them anymore. How great this is, eh? So difficult to take it up. And we people, we store it up and then we bring it after 3 years. You did that? Did we? Oh, I remember last month you said that. Yeah, you know. I see. But you are confessed and then everything is gone. But we people hold it on. Justification means you are made holy, you are made righteous, and there is no guilt God places on you now. And just as if you have never sinned. Not only that, we are covered with the robe of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 10. Oh Holy Spirit, help us, oh Lord, through this message that we may go on to perfection and also to take hold of what you have for us these days. Oh Lord, 61 verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation or deliverance. He had covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He had clothed me with the robe of righteousness. Another translation says, he has wrapped around me with the robe of righteousness. You and I have been wrapped around, our spirit have been made righteous with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. And we received it scot-free through faith in his blood. You have been wrapped around with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we have two things in that verse. One is deliverance. Okay? He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Salvation means always deliverance. And secondly, the robe of righteousness. The devil tells you, oh well, you did all that, you did that, and you are no good and all that. And you can tell the devil, yes, maybe so. But what about the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Look into it, devil, and see whether you can find fault. Are you there? Hallelujah. Tell him, look inside. You will see the righteousness, the robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. See whether you can find fault with that. And the devil would have to shut up. Oh, hallelujah. Ready for the confession? All right. This is powerful. This is very powerful. Every confession, because this is directly based on what he has done through the shedding of his blood. Without shedding of his blood, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Amen? Right. Okay, let's confess now. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, acquitted, not guilty, reckoned righteous, made righteous, just as if I had never sinned. Say thank you, Jesus. Oh Lord, my God, what are the things that the Lord has done? Or left undone for us. Everything he has done it so beautifully. Amen. The fourth one. Sanctification. So we have redemption, cleansing, justification. Fourth one, sanctification. To sanctify means to make holy, to set apart, to separate. Hebrews 13:12. Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Jesus sanctified his people through what? His own blood. So sanctification, we are made holy through his own blood. Now Hebrews 12:10, just turn the page that is before, chapter 12 verse 10. I'm going to show you something here. For they, that means our parents, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, how it seemed good for them. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. When we are chastened by God, that means we are, God is doing that we may partake of his holiness. His holiness. Are you all there? So sanctification comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. All right, now we are ready for the confession. Ready? It is better, I would think, you close your eyes and say, so that there is no distraction. If you don't want it, that doesn't matter. But I would suggest that. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy, set apart to God, separated from sin, made holy with God's holiness. Come on, say hallelujah. That's what happens in sanctification. You are sanctified, you are made holy, we are set apart to God, separated from sin, made holy with God's holiness. Everything happened through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the main verse that I gave you was Hebrews 13:12. Now the fourth one. Is that the fifth one? All right. Okay. That's right. You're right. You're alert. Fifth one. Life. Life itself. We have already seen that life is in the blood. Leviticus 17:11. Now look at me. The life of God Almighty, Jehovah. The life of the eternal God is in the blood of Jesus. That's why the devil cannot stand when you mention the blood, because you lift up what? The life of Jehovah. Oh my God. Oh yes. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the word of God. Oh yeah, we need to use those things. But the Holy Spirit says, don't leave out the blood, the three witnesses, the blood in earth, because the life of God himself is in the blood of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you. You know, when Jesus does not have to say verily, verily, he could have said, Now look, I say unto you. Because he is the truth, he is the Son of God, he is God himself. Why should he say verily, verily? Everything he said was important. Now this one, whenever you find verily, verily, or you find truly, truly, or most assuredly, I say to you, any translations, always remember this. It is super important. And this is a place, where the devil can just trick us. He will try his best. That's why Jesus says, come on now. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Oh my God. Only in certain places he said that. And so, let us see what he's saying. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Hallelujah. Now, this must have really, really made mad those Pharisees. Flesh? Blood? Who does he think he is? What is he? What is he saying? But Jesus was not joking, you know. And Jesus also was not speaking anything figuratively. As a type. No, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Wow. This is very, very special. Hallelujah. Now, I know that many churches, many of us, may have thought that Jesus has asked us to observe the Lord's Supper as just a memorial, and many think just as a symbol. But he never said that. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to see something here. Are you ready? All right. Chapter 10, verse 16. See what the Holy Spirit says through Paul. The cup of blessing, 1 Corinthians 10, 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, or in some translation says sharing, of the blood of Christ? Hello? When you drink the cup, the Holy Spirit is saying, are you not taking the blood of Christ and sharing in his blood? Go on to read. The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the sharing of the body of Christ? Can you see that? See? It is the sharing of his blood when we drink the cup. It is the sharing of his flesh when we eat the bread. 1 Corinthians 11. Now see again, Paul comes back. Verse 23. For I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Now this thing, he directly received it from the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When we do it, yes, we remember his death. But he says, when you are taking that, that is my flesh. We have no power to turn that into his flesh. But he said, when you take that by faith, what I have said, you are taking part. You are sharing my blood. You are communing. You are having communion with my blood. This is very, very deep. Don't get troubled in your mind. I want to say, even from now on, many, many believers, they are already doing it. There are thousands and millions of believers. You know, in Jerusalem, there is a small Arab town. Dr. Derek Prince says, while he was staying there, those people, when he was there in one of the Arabs, and they are Christians born again, you know how they know what the original says and all that. You know how they drink? When the cup comes, they say, let us all drink together the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, because the Bible says, when you take part in the cup, and that you remember the Lord says in the same chapter, I don't want you to have communion with the table of demons. You go and eat there, and you come and eat here, and you can drink here, you go and drink there, you have communion with the demons, and you want to come and have sharing with me? No. So when we take that, Lord, what we are going to do now, I am taking part, sharing your blood that you shed for me. That's when the power of God begins to work in our bodies. That's when the devil hates it. Any darkness in the body has to leave. Has to leave. The demons don't like that. They don't like it. They will. I tell you, you go and tell this to somebody. They say, "Oh well, this is heresy, you know. I don't believe this." Because the demons don't like it. They don't like it for you to have Lord's Supper at your home. You must have. Take that off your head at only the church once a month. Show me in the Bible. What did he say? Oh, that's right, Brother Paul. As if I can understand, often means my God do it as very. That's right. Do it every day. I send the anointing as I speak these things. And we need this these days. We need the fellowship of the Lord. And we proclaim his death. And as it goes on to read over there, let's read that thing fully. And the same manner also he took the cup and he supped and say, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Yes, we do in remembering the death of the Lord. But he says, you take it, you are sharing my blood. Don't just think that, oh, that just a, oh well, just a, something, a wine or some liquid that we have just a red color. Oh well, yeah, it'll be just like that for you. And you feel thirsty again because you took only a little. But the Lord says, hey, this is so precious. God says, come, my children. You have to share me. That's why he told those Pharisees, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Are you there? And are you ready for confession? So when we're going to take part in this now, so we will have to say, Lord Jesus, we receive this bread as your flesh. We receive this cup as your blood, and then we take it. Now, confession. Are you ready? Close your eyes. Lord Jesus Christ, when I receive your blood, in it I receive your life, the life of God, divine, eternal, endless life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. That's right. He said, do this way, my children. So we obey and do that way. That is all. Glory to God. Glory to God. See how much I have some more gas in here.